morning at today's daf in Sanhedrin is Nun Beis. We are on the very, not the very bottom. We're at Nun Alpha Mid Beis. We are continuing the Gemara's discussion yesterday regarding that of Sreifa. We were talking in detail yesterday regarding the Bas Kohen. The Bas Kohen, who is Mechalalas, who profanes herself by being mezana by having adultery with another man. So the Torah says that she's subject to the Sreifa penalty, Sreifa death penalty. So there are three opinions amongst the Tanaim exactly when the death penalty is going to be issued against her. The opinion of the Chachamim is that when she is at the stage of being a Nara Marasa, so she is going to be subject to Skila, and when she becomes a Nesua, she gets Sreifa. The opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that a Bas Kohen is always going to get Sreifa, whether she's an Arusa, whether she's a Nesua. And then there's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that the halacha of Sreifa is only for the Nara Marasa, for the Bas Kohen is a Nara Marasa, but once she becomes a Nesua, so she reverts back to regular chenik, like any woman who committed adultery. So there are three opinions amongst the Tanaim, and with that in mind, so the Gemara yesterday really struggled in terms of a Brisa. The Gemara quoted the Brisa. The Brisa started on Nun Amud based in the bottom of the Amud, and continued to the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, and the Brisa ended off with an opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says that there is going to be a distinction between a Bas Kohen, if she was Mizana, Mei Avia versus Mei Chameha. Now, exactly what did that mean? So that was the problem that we dealt with yesterday, in that we were trying to unpack what exactly he was saying and what did he mean. And the Gemara noted the difficulty in that it doesn't conform to any one of the opinions that we already saw, meaning it doesn't conform to the opinion of neither the Chachamim, nor Rabbi Shimon, nor Rabbi Yishmael. And so it was difficult to unpack, and it was difficult to explain what exactly he meant. So yesterday the Gemara went through a number of different suggestions in terms of what he meant. So Amar Avina, this is where we got to yesterday. This is exactly where we're going to picking it up right now. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Ravina, and that is Olam Karabanan Ve'epoch. That really, he subscribes to the opinion of the Chachamim. Again, according to the Chachamim, the Bas Kohen, who is Mizana, while a married woman, so if she does so while being a Nara Marasa, she gets Skila. If she does so after she becomes a Nesua, so she's going to get Sreifa. So what now he is arguing, Ravina's arguing, is that's what Rebbe Elazar meant. And in terms of the fact that it doesn't conform with the statement, so what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to take a statement and we're just going to have to flip it, so that it conforms now to the opinion of the Chachamim. Okay. Esavila b'skila v'eschameh b'sreifa. So, that's actually the new edited version of Rebbe Elazar. That avia b'skila, avia means that while she's under the jurisdiction of her father, meaning that she only went to Erisin, so therefore she's going to be subject to Skila. Echameha, when it comes to her father-in-law, so that's Sreifa. So then she's going to be subject to the Sreifa penalty, as per the opinion of the Chachamim. Behind the Kamar is Aviyah, Sircha Ba'amanaka. Now the fact that it says Aviyah, so that's just a language that's employed, but it really means, it doesn't mean with her father, it simply means under the jurisdiction of her father. Okay. Am Rav Nachman, Am Rav Baravu, Am Rav Halacha, Kedishalach Ravim Mishmed Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara quotes that the Halacha is exactly as sent by Ravin. So the Gemara says, Am Rav Yosef Hilchzal Mashicha. So Rav Yosef says to Rav Nachman, I don't understand. So basically you're telling me what the Halacha is. But when are we going to use this Halacha? When are we applying the Halacha? In other words, we're having a debate in terms of when exactly a woman is going to be subject to the Sreifa penalty. We don't have a base of Mikdash anymore. We don't have a base in anymore. There is no capital punishment. So it's good that we're passing the halacha, but we're passing the halacha so that what? So when the Mashiach comes, then when Mashiach comes, so we'll ask him. But in other words, we don't need this information right now. We don't need a psak right now. So Amalei Abai Ela Me'atzah Shchitus Kasham Lo Lisnei Hilchasol LeMashicha. So the Abai says to Rav Yosef, I don't understand your attitude. Meaning, there are many things that we, in terms of halachas, that we don't have nowadays, that we just simply can't apply. So notably, karbonos. We don't have karbonos nowadays, and yet, we're going to be spending a lot of time in the Daf Yomini learning the entire Seder Kachim, from beginning to end. Zvachim and Nachos. So that all has to do with karbonos. And what are you going to say? Well, let's not spend our time learning it, because Hilchos and the Mashiach. Because it doesn't apply now, it's only going to apply when Mashiach comes. And that's obviously the incorrect attitude. So Ella Droshe Kapas Schar Hachanami Droshe Kapas Schar. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're saying regarding Kabbanos is that we're going to learn about Kabbanos and we're going to receive reward, meaning it's part and parcel of the corpus of Torah. And as part of Torah, every bit of Torah that we learn, we're going to be rewarded for that learning. It's all Dvar Hashem. So the same thing is true over here, meaning when we're having a halacha regarding how to meet capital punishment when it comes to a Bas Kohen. So yeah, you're right. Of course, we're not going to do it until Mashiach comes again. But still, it's drosha kabbalschar. It falls under the category of it's part and parcel of the body of Torah, and therefore we receive reward for learning it.
So, because we sinned,
right?
It's not a reward. So being in this situation, we should definitely be doing a meeting, because if we were good, we'd be back in the
temple. Fine. In other words, but the Gemara's point is that it's still part of Torah, and therefore we're going to be rewarded. So hachi kamar hilchus alamali suga deshmaisa alacha kamar. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. What I meant to say is learning it is, of course, fine. That's not the problem that bothered me. The problem is the psak halacha, meaning you want to learn it, that's fine. But you want to then tell me what the psak halacha is? The psak halacha is gratuitous. It's gratuitous from our perspective, meaning that we don't need to know the psak halacha. We need to know the shitas. So in other words, after completing yesterday's daf, so you should know the shitas of the Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, in terms of the various opinions of when a Bas Kohen is going to be subject to Sreifa, so that you should know. In terms of who does the halacha fall like on something like this, it is not necessary that we have to know who the halacha falls like. So the Gemara says that was the problem that Rav Yosef had regarding this particular discussion. Okay. Where are we right now? So geographically, we're in Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We're halfway down on the Amud. And we have just now almost completed the discussion. Oh. That's the elevator. Okay. We just finished the discussion. I'm just going to close the door. Yeah. Okay. We just finished a discussion regarding the long brisa that started all the way back on Nun Amud Beis and to the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph regarding the Bas Kohen. And in the course of the discussion, we mentioned Rabbi Yishmael and his opinion. Again, just to repeat, according to Rabbi Yishmael, when is the Bas Kohen still going to be subject to Sreifa? That's only while she is a Nara Marasa. However, once she gets to the development of being fully married, the second stage of marriage, so then the punishment for the Bas Kohen is going to be Chenek. It's not going to be Sreifa. So this position, Rabbi Shmuel, we did not formally introduce ourselves to. Meaning we saw the Chachamim, we saw Rabbi Shimon, we have not seen Rabbi Shmuel, so this is now the Gemara quoting a Braisa, formally introducing us to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. My Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, of Asish Kohen, Kisechel is Nos. Again, we review the Pasuk in the Torah that tells us that a Bas Kohen, who is Mizanu, commits adultery, is going to be subject to Sreifa, but not Raviya Rusa Kasamadaber. So Rabbi Shmuel says that's talking only when she is both developmentally a Nara and Meurasa. So in other words, first stage of marriage and middle stage of development. Right? In other words, older than a Katana but younger than a Bogeres. And first stage of marriage. The Gemara says, and how do I know? And how do I know that that's true? Because the Gemara says, let's consider. Let's just talk about regular adultery. I say regular adultery, I mean where the participants are not a Kohen. She's not a Kohen. Okay, so if it's regular adultery, what is the punishment? Chenek. We're going to see a number of times in the course of these next dapim of the Gemara. Now, how call you bechla noef and noefis? Hotzei akasu b'aisisol b'skila. So ubaskon b'sreifa. So now there are two notable exceptions, meaning the standard punishment for adultery is chenek. The two notable exceptions is by a regular bas yisrael who is in the stage of nara marasa and a bas kohen. And what Rabbi Shmuel says is that we're just simply going to equate these notable exceptions. Ma keshot ze'akasav bas yisrael l'skil arusav lo nesua, af keshot ze'akasav bas kohen l'sreifa arusav lo nesua. So a bas yisrael who is going to be receiving the harsher punishment of skila is when she's a nara marasa. So what Rabbi Shmuel is arguing is the same thing is going to be true regarding the bas kohen. When a bas kohen goes through is going to undergo the special harsher punishment to sreifa, that's only when she's going to be a nara marasa. And then Zomameh Vawala Bechlal Vasisim Lo Kosher Zomam. So, and then the Bryce ends off by teaching us that if you have Edom Zomamim who are charging and falsely accusing a man and a Bas Kohen of committing adultery, so they're not going to be subject to her punishment, which is Sreifa. They're going to be subject to his punishment, which is Chenek. So, my Kasher Zomam, Ika, I'm sorry. Now, the way the end of the Braisa ended was a little bit awkward because it said at the end that this is a description of both the Edom Zomamim and Bo'Allah, the man that she's having an adulterous affair with. The pasuk that was quoted was only regarding the Edom Zomamim, not regarding the man. So the Gemara just clarifies, Ela Zomamah B'chlam Mises Bo'Allah. Mishab Shenemra V'asisalo Kesher Zomam La'asos Lachi V'lalacho So Divra B'Shmawal. So the Gemara says, okay, good, clarification. When we're quoting the pasuk regarding an Edom Zomamim, the pasuk is just simply telling us that the Edom Zomamim are going to be receiving the same punishment as the man involved in this adulterous affair, but not her, not the Bas Kohen. And because the Torah says, "Kasher Zomam Lasos Le'achiv," what they conspired to do to him meaning he, the participant in the adulterous affair, not her. Okay, the Adkan Tishitas Rabbi Shmuel. So far in this Braisa, now we have formally introduced ourselves to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. A Bas Kohen is only going to be subject to Sreifa only at the stage of Na'ara Marasa. Just like a regular Bas Yisrael is going to be receiving the harsher punishment of Skila when she's in Na'ara Marasa, same thing is true regarding a Bas Kohen. She'll be receiving her harsher punishment of Sreifa only when she's in Na'ara Marasa. Rabbi Akiva Amar, Achas Arusa, Achas Nesua, Yasa L'Sreifa. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, both the Arusa and the Nesua are going to be subject to Sreifa. Yachla Filipinuya, I Nemer Karnaviyav, Nemer Lala Naviyah. Malalan Snosim Zika Taba, Afkan Snosim Zika Taba. Rabbi Akiva says no, that both the Arusa and the Nesua are going to be subject to Sreifa. Now, what about a Pinuya? Maybe even if she's not married. And as I mentioned already a number of times, the pasuk regarding the Bas Kohen who is Mezana never actually says that she was married. It just simply says that she was Techa Liznos, that she was deviant, but it doesn't say that she actually was married. So, but Rabbi Akiva says that we're going to learn out based on Gzeres Shava. Just like it says regarding the Na'ara Marasa, the word Avia, and it clearly is talking about a married woman, so too over here by the Bas Kohen, through the Gzeres Shava, we're learning that's talking about a married woman. Amalei Rabbi Shmuel, Imala Hala Na'ara V'Yarusa, Afkan Na'ara V'Yarusa. To which Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Akiva, well, great, meaning you're subscribing to Gzeres Shava, equating the Bas Kohen to a Na'ara Marasa. So, doesn't that bring you to my point? Which is that the only time that a Bas Kohen is going to be subject to Sreifa is only when she's Na'ara Marasa. Not like what you say, Rabbi Akiva, that she's going to be receiving Sreifa whether she is either an Arusa or Nesua. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, Yishmael Achai, Basavas, any Daresh. So Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Shmuel, my brother, I Darshan Bas Ubas, meaning the extra Vav, Ubas Kohen. That extra Vav, says Rabbi Akiva, is there to Darshan, that not only is the Na'ara Marasa going to be subject to Sreifa, but even if she's in a sewer, she's going to be subject to Sreifa. So Rabbi Shmuel very sharply says back to Rabbi Akiva, so let me understand you correctly. There's an extra vav in the Torah. Okay, and you darshan it. And all that's wonderful. And now a woman is going to be receiving a harsher punishment just because you darshan it. Meaning that little drasha, that little vav is going to result in somebody receiving an actually harsher death penalty. And Rabbi Yishmael says to Rabbi Akiva, look, either one of two things are going to happen. Either it's inclusive or it's exclusive. But you, Rabbi Akiva, you're straddling some sort of compromise position in that the extra vav is going to be inclusive in that it's going to be including a Na'ara Marasa. But you're also saying that it applies to only a married woman, not to a non-married woman. And again, in the psukim themselves, there's no indication of that. And you only know that because of the Gzeres Shava. So Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Akiva, you gotta pick a side. Either you'll go with the Gzeres Shava, which will then be limiting it to only Na'ara Marasa, or you ignore the Gzeres Shava and you darshan your extra vav, but that should include every Bas Kohen who commits some extra marital relations. So Rabbi Akiva, ahani Gzeres Shava lamoti pinuya v'ahani basu basla rabasas anasuwa. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, I can have a balanced position. Meaning, I subscribe to the Gzeres Shava and I subscribe to the extra vav. So from the Gzeres Shava, I know that the punishment of Sreifa is only for a married woman. And from the extra vav, I know that the punishment of Sreifa is for both an Arusa and a Nesua. And Rabbi Kiva says, I don't see the problem with having a balanced approach of having a gzeira shava to limit, having the extra vav to include. Now Rabbi Shmuel obviously didn't understand that originally, because Rabbi Shmuel thought that when Rabbi Akiva was darshing the extra vav, so therefore he was totally forfeiting the gzeira shava, and he was just going with the ribui of the extra vav. V'Rabbi Shmuel hai basavas maidar shibei. And here now the Gemara in its classic style now is going to go over what each Tana is going to be doing with the other's opinion. What is Rabbi Shmuel going to be doing with the extra vav? Clearly he doesn't darshan it to teach me that both an arusa and an asua are subject to the sreifa punishment, because again Rabbi Shmuel says only Nara Murasa subject to the straight for punishment. So the Gemara says the following Havamina. It's an interesting Havamina. Look, when it comes to male Kohanim, we know that only male Kohanim that are not blemished are able to do the Avoda. They can do Avoda in the base of Mikdash. However, if a Kohen is a Baal Mum, if he has a physical blemish, he cannot do the Avoda. The Gemara now is considering, as a Havamina, maybe the same thing would be true regarding a Bas Kohen. Now, obviously, the Bas Kohen is not doing the Avoda, but the point is that if she's a Bas Kohen and she's a Baal's Mum, and she has a blemish, maybe she won't be subject to the Sreifa penalty. Because maybe the Sreifa penalty is only in store for a Bas Kohen, who, much like her male counterpart, can only do the Avoda while being a non-Balmum, she is only going to be subject to Sreifa while she's a non-Balmum. That's the Havamina, and Tamalam Rabbasu Bas. So the extra Vav, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is coming to tell me that no. That when it comes to the Bas Kohen, the extra Vav is telling me that whether she's not a Balmum, or whether she is a Balmum, she's always going to be subject to Sreifa. But again, according to Rabbi Shmuel, provided that she was an Ara Marasa. Rabbi Akiva, Mevehem Makriv Memein Kodesh Nafka. So Rabbi Akiva also arrives at the same conclusion, but he has a different pasuk to arrive at that conclusion. Hey Makrivim Vahayu Kodesh is coming to teach me that this differentiation between having a blemish and not having a blemish is only regarding the male Kohanim. And I need the Torah there to go out of its way to tell me that they're still, even though they're Balmum, they have physical blemishes, and even though they can't be doing the Avoda, they still have Kedushas Kahuna. Rashi over here points out, I'm sorry, before I get to the Rashi. And Rabbi Shmuel says, look, if all I had was that pasuk of Haim Makrivim Vayu Kodesh, I would have thought that that only applies to the men, but not to the women. Why? Explains Rashi. Because let's consider. I might have thought that if you have a Kohen that cannot do the Avoda, let's say, for example, he's a Baal Mum. If he can't do the Avoda, so really, what is he as a Kohen? And we're just saying this is a Havamina. I would have thought that he doesn't have Kedusha. He doesn't have Kedusha's Kahuna. Because maybe the entire Kedusha's Kahuna is all wrapped into the concept that he's able to do the Avoda. But once disqualified from doing the Avoda, the Kedusha totally goes away. That's what I would have thought. And therefore, the Torah says, Hey, Makrifin Vayu Kodesh, means that they're in a perpetual state of Kedusha, even if they can't do the Avoda. And practically speaking, what does that mean? Rashi here points out what that means, of course, is that they can't come into contact with Tumas Meis, despite the fact that they're not doing the Avoda. And we might have thought, therefore, they no longer have Kedushas Kahuna. Comes the Torah to teach us, no, they have Kedushas Kahuna, and they can't come into contact with a Meis. You see, however, when it comes to a Bas Kohen, we don't have such a concept. Because as we all know, a Bas Kohen is allowed to come into contact with a Meis. So I, therefore, would have thought, I never would have had this Havamina regarding a Bas Kohen, and that's why this pasuk is only needed for the male Kohanim, not for the female Kohanim. V'Rabbi Shmuel, Hai Es Aviyah Himechalalas Maidar Shibei. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, what is he going to do with the pasuk of Es Aviyah Himechalalas? Because, according to Rabbi Shmuel, he doesn't darshan the Aviyah Gzera Shava. So, So what is he going to do with that pasuk? So, I'm sorry. According to Rabbi Shmuel, no, just the opposite. Sorry. I was just listening to myself. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, he does darshan the aviyah gzereshava, but he doesn't darshan the aviyah himechalalas. So therefore, what is he learning out from that pasuk? So mi bayle, we're now on the very top of nun beis amud aleph, second line down. Mi bayle lechidatanya. Hayy Rabbi Meir Omer matolomer es aviyah himechalalas. What? Does it? What does the Torah tell us when it says that she profanes her father? She may no hagim b'korish no hagim b'chol kava no hagim b'bizayon. Omrim arusha zu yalad arusha ze gidel arusha yatsa zu mechalatzav. So the father, even though no fault of his own, although maybe the Gemara is even arguing with that point, but the father, let me say it like this. I'll say it nice and clear. The father is not the one who violated the act of znus. It was a daughter who violated the act of znus. But according to this price, according to Reb Meir, people are entitled to say, look, he was once upon a time a kohen, and we treat him with respect and kedusha, no need anymore. We once upon a time gave him kavod, no need anymore. In fact, omrim, one is allowed to say to him, arush yezu yalad arush yezu gidol arush yezu mechalatzav. Whoa, what did you just produce? Meaning your daughter's mizana, your daughter committed adultery, and people can actually deride him for that matter. Am Ravashi Kamana Karina Rishia Bar Rishia Vafila Rishia Bar Tzadika. So Ravashi says that under such circumstances, one can even refer to the individual as a Rasha Bar Rasha. A wicked person, the son of a wicked person, even though dad may not be wicked. Kamana Kaitana, obviously, that position of Ravashi is going to be subscribing with this brisa that we just learned together. That this brisa that says Vavihi Mechalalas, that her father can be treated in a profane manner because of the actions of his daughters. Okay, this brings us to a very delicate discussion in the Gemara, where the Gemara is espousing a viewpoint, and perhaps it's not the accepted viewpoint, but the Gemara is espousing a viewpoint that that you can place blame on the parents for the actions of their child. Now that's a very hard position to understand. It's a hard position to take, although admittedly the Gemara just noted a Tana and an Amora who do subscribe to such a position. It is a difficult position to take because just all we have to do is just go back to the Avos, meaning go back to our forefathers, Avram. So one child came out good, the other child was a Rasha. Yitzchak, same story. One child was a Rasha. So it would be a very difficult position to take that there could be some incrimination that is attributed to the forefather based on the action of the child, right? You'll correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't find that anywhere. We don't find anyone taking a position where, okay, fine, the parent deserves some criticism for the actions of the child. And generally speaking, we operate with the assumption that the child's actions are owned by the child. And as a result of the child, I mean, we have this idea of Bechir Chavshis. Yes, the house in which he grows up obviously will provide an influence for that child. But to lay blame and charge on the parent and say, Rishia by Rishia, even if the father's a good guy, because his child went off the derech, it's really difficult. Meaning, it's admittedly a difficult position to take. But to be fair, the Gemara at least cites an opinion to this matter. Just one at a time. What about nothing? Meaning the parents to take the rebellious child to Beis Din and under certain circumstances, right? But again, over here when we're saying held accountable, let's just be clear: the Gemara is not saying that we're going to be doing anything to the parents. The parents are not going to be suffering any kind of punishment. It's just, in other words, name calling is really the extent of the Gemara. We're not, but okay. Okay, fine. Understood. Agreed. This is an opinion. It's hard for me to say that this is a normative approach, an accepted opinion. But certainly, you know, to ignore it, however, that you can't do as well. Yeah, Danny.
It says that
right, correct. But the Gemara also taught us earlier in the third parak that means that the son can't testify about the father, and the father can't testify about the son. But over here, in other words, again, just it's words. Meaning, I'm not minimizing words. The words are also important. But in other words, it's just simply statements you can make about the parent when the son is going off. is following a path that is, to say the least, not exceptional. Okay. Let's continue now in the Gemara. We are at the two dots. We just have one little bit of Gemara to go before we get to the next Mishnah. So, Zoom, it's just on the Skalin. The wording of the Mishnah seems to be a little verbose, right? That when the Mishnah opened up the seventh perek, so it says arba misas nimsu lebeisin skilas reif arik vechenek. Then it brings in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and then the Mishnah concludes with a sign off of zu mitzvos haniskalin. Like what is that? Gemara explains very simply. My tana detani zu mitzvos haniskalin. Bishim detani negmar din motzino sol lesaklo beisaskila. Haya gavosh shekamos va'aydi dekabay lemisne mitzvos hanisrafim. Tana nami zu mitzvos haniskalin. So the Gemara explains beautifully that when you read the Mishnah, what the Mishnah is really doing is it's closing the previous topic. Now, admittedly, it's a little strange because it's the first Mishnah of the seventh Perek. Meaning, I would imagine that this Mishnah really belongs at the end of the sixth Perek as it's closing a topic. Meaning, where did the sixth Perek open up with? How skill is actually done. And now, let's close the book. I'd say almost literally, but you know, keep the Gemaras open. But now let's close the chapter on Niskalin. That's that line of the Mishnah. This line of the Mishnah of Zu Mitzvos Niskalin, meaning we're closing the chapter now on Skila, and now we're moving on to a new topic, which is the very next Mishnah, which we're about to read in just a moment. That, says the Gemara, is the purpose of the word Zu Mitzvos Niskalin. It's a bookmark now to end the chapter of Skila. Okay. Mitzvos Nisrafim, we start now the next Mishnah. Nun Beis Amad Aleph. Nitzvos Nisrafim Hayim Meshakana Sobezevel. Okay, before I explain the Mishnah, just just a couple of introductory remarks. Okay, let's remind each other. So, first and foremost, there is no pleasant way to end somebody's life. Okay, just in other words, we are going to be looking for humane manners to do so, but we're talking about execution, termination of life. There's no pleasant way to do so. On top of that, we also have mitzvahs in the Torah, meaning the Torah gives us a methodology in terms of how to terminate somebody's life in the event that he was an avaryan and he went through due process and Beis Din had the right to give him capital punishment. So, with all that said, the starting point is an unpleasantry. So the idea over here that we're going to be learning a Mishnah together, which quite frankly is going to be, which is going to sound unpleasant. When I say sound unpleasant, I'm sure, as much as I have not experienced any of this, I'm sure it's unpleasant to say the least. But nevertheless, however, this is the reality of the death penalty in the Torah. But basically, we're just looking at such a reality. Admittedly, it's unpleasant to think about, to look at. But again, this is part of the mitzvah of Torah. Mitzvah in the Torah, my Yimashakana Sobezevel. So what they would do is they would take him and they would have him sit in manure, ad arkavasov nihai. And basically what that does is that it grounds him. So Rashi describes so that he won't be going one way or another. And what we're going to be doing, obviously, as if you know the Mishnah. But what we will be doing is we're going to be pouring lead down his throat, boiling lead down his throat. So we don't want him to move around. So we want him to be situated, grounded. So we have him in Zevel. Now, admittedly, could there be some other material that he could be sitting in that would ground him, that would hold him still? Perhaps what the significance of Zevel is. So I don't have anything good to contribute in terms of why specifically Zevel. But I'm sure there's a reason why specifically Zevel. And then what happens is that we're going to have a double scarf wrapped around his neck. A harder material with a lining of a softer material. So basically what we want over here is a bit of a balance. What we want is that, because we're going to pull on the scarf in order to have him open up his mouth, but if it is just a hard material, it may end up choking him. We don't want him to choke, meaning we want him to ingest the boiling lead. So therefore, we're going to take the soft scarf and wrap it within a harder material. You're going to be having the witnesses now who are going to be pulling on each side of the scarf until his mouth is open. And what you're going to do is you'll light up the lead, meaning you will turn it from a solid into a liquid. You're going to be pouring it down his throat, and it's going to go down his intestines, and it will burn his intestines. So, according to the Tanakhama, this is a description of the Sefer process. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hu im meis bi adam lo ayim mekayim bo mitzvah Sefer. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm very worried over here. Because what may end up happening is that when the witnesses are pulling on the handkerchief, so out of their interest in doing this correctly, so they're going to pull in, they may be a little bit too eager, and they may be pulling a little bit too hard, and they may end up choking him. Now, the problem with that is, not that they killed him because he's supposed to die. The problem, of course, is that they're giving the wrong Mises Beis Din. So over here, they wanted to do Sreifa. So Rabbi Yehuda therefore says, I am not a fan of having him opening his mouth through the pulling of the scarves. Rabbi Yehuda prefers, therefore, the method of opening up his mouth with some sort of tongue, some sort of mechanical device. Obviously, says the Mishnah, he will not be willing to do so. You'll be finding him to do so. And then the process is then the same as we just got done describing. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok tells an incident where there was a Bas Kohen who committed adultery. They wrapped up her body in wood, in thorns, and basically wood material. This sarfua, and they burned her externally. Now, what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok is pointing out is that everyone here in the Mishnah thinks that the correct way to do it is an internal burning. But meanwhile, I was witness to an actual burning of a Bas Kohen, and she was burned externally, not internally. So they say to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, the basin who did that were not experts. And by the way, when I say not experts, we're actually many exit ramps away from not being experts. Meaning that by them not knowing how to actually administer the straight for punishment, the terminology I would use is something a little bit less subtle than just simply saying they're not experts. Okay, that in other words, it's a big mistake. Okay, that incident with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok we're going to be discussing a little bit later on as well in some greater detail. In the meantime, however, my psila, when the Mishnah says that we're going to be pouring hot lead, so I said hot lead, I say that only because I know the Gemara. And the Gemara over here says, I'm Rav Masa psila shel aver. So it is lead. In other words, then the lead is going to be boiled down to where it's now in liquid form, and that's going to be poured down the throat. Minala nasya srefa srefa mi'adus korach. How do I know that srefa is to be an internal burning, not an external burning? And so what effectively the Gemara now is going to do is it's going to be quoting two different sources in the Torah where we find actual personalities in the Torah who were burnt through an internal burning, not an external burning. One is going to be Adas Karach, and the other one, I would say more famously, is Nadav ve'Avihu. And the Gemara is going to basically say that these are the two possible sources that teach us that Sreifa is an internal burning, not an external burning. So we start off with Adas Karach. Ma'alahalan Sreifas Neshama ve'Guf v'Kayam, Avkan Sreifas Neshama ve'Guf v'Kayam. So by Adas Karach, they were burned internally, not externally. The Gemara later on will point out how we know that it was true regarding Adas Karach. Rabbi Elazar Omer Asya Sreifas Sreifa Mibnei Aaron. Rabbi Elazar says, no. We learned it from the sons of Aaron. Ma'alahalan Sreifas Neshama ve'Guf v'Kayam, Avkan Sreifas Neshama ve'Guf v'Kayam. Just like by the sons of Aaron, they were burnt internally, so too, only anyone subject to the Sreifa penalty is going to be burnt internally. Now, Mandial of Ma'adz Karach Manale Dichsiv. Now, question. So there are two possible sources that you're going to be learning from, either Adas Karach or Nadav Avihu. So the number of things that we have to establish, the Gemara starts off with the first point. How do I know that Adas Karach were burnt internally? So the Gemara here quotes the Pasuk, by Karach Dichsiv, Vesmachtos Echatei Ma'ila Benav Shosam, the shovels of the sinners binafshosam, meaning that their nefesh was consumed, meaning that yes, they were burnt, the Adas Karach, but only internally, not externally. Shinishmasam nisrefas v'guf kayam. Internally they were burnt, but their bodies remain intact. V'idach ha'isrefa mamashi. And the other position, meaning if you're not learning it from Adas Karach, so you are going to be disagreeing with the facts on the ground. What happened to Adas Karach? So according to the other opinion, meaning Rabbi Elazar, so he's of the opinion that Adas Karach were actually burnt internally and externally. My bin nafshasam shen is chayv sreifa al iske nafshasam. And they were chayv sreifa because of their behavior. The word nefnashosam is not to be understood as what part of their body was burned, but rather that magia lahem, they deserved it based on their actions. So as a result of the fact that they flattered Korach, and Korach in turn lured them by providing them food and drink, so as a result of that, the Sarshal Gehenim kind of sharpens his teeth. So, but in other words, it's not a reference to how they were burnt, but why they were burnt. Meaning because of the chanufa, because of the extra favor that they showed Korach and vice versa. Now, for those who learn from Bnei Aaron, which is Rabbi Elazar of the Brisa, how do we know that the Bnei Aaron, Nadav, and Navi were burnt internally, not externally? Because the pasuk says, "Vayimus lifnei Hashem ke'ein misa." They died lifnei Hashem, meaning it was ke'ein misa. It was something that resembled a death, but it was not a quote unquote normal death, meaning that their bodies were not burnt. It was just an neshama. So, and the other position will say that no, Nadav and Avihu were burnt in their entirety, both internally and externally. So, and when it says vayamusu, it just simply means that the fire started internally, but then went external as well. Kein misa. The Gemara over here provides powerful imagery regarding the death of Nadav Avihu, where two streams of flames, are coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then each one of the two is breaking down into another two. So that's 2 times 2, which is 4. And then each stream goes up into the nostril of Nadav Avihu. So that's 2 people, 4 nostrils in total. So the 4 streams of fire are going up the 4 nostrils of Nadav Avihu. V'nichnesu shnayim b'chod moshozeh, v'shnayim b'chod moshozeh, v'sarfum, and that's how Nadav and Avihu were burnt. V'haksi v'tochol sam. Now the Torah says that the fire burned them, meaning it sounds like from the Torah that it was just something that was internal, not external. So the Gemara says, no, or some of a big dam. No. According to Rabbi Lazar, the burning of Nadav and Avihu, according to the Tanakhama, the burning of Nadav and Avihu was both internal and external. And when the Torah just simply says, Vatochal Osam, which gives us the indication of the essence of Nadav and Avihu, meaning their neshamas, the Gemara says that only means that it started there. But then it continued to burn, and it finally, to the point where it burned them externally as well. So let's, before I go on in the Gemara, so what do we have? That the halach of Sreifa is that it's an internal burning, not an external burning. How do I know that? So there are 2 possible sources. One is from Adas Korach, who received an internal burning according to one opinion. And the other is that Nadav Avihu, who also received an internal burning according to one opinion. But the Gemara notes that if you subscribe to the idea that we're learning from Nadav Avihu, it's because you are of the opinion that Adar Korach were burnt in totality. And conversely, the same is true as well. If you're learning from Adas Korach, it's because you're of the opinion that Nadav Avihu were burnt in totality, both internally and externally. So we have now a wide range of positions regarding Nadav Avihu and Adas Korach in terms of whether they were burnt internally or were they burnt internally and externally. No. Megadiv, the Torah says, explicitly gets skila.
Right. So, what punishment, in other words, is that really Sreifa for the punishments that they did, both Korach and Nadav?
Right. It's a good question. Meaning, why exactly did they get Sreifa?
And how do we know this is the source for Sreifa? Because there's no molten lead here. I mean, I know it's fire.
No, understood. No, you're right.
Fire.
Right. They offered a strange fire, so therefore the death comes through fire. What Danny's pointing out, however, is that this is not legal precedent, meaning this is not a court case, this is not Beis Din, this is Hashem. What Danny's pointing out is, and then that means the Gemara then is going to be difficult to understand, because the Gemara is extracting from there that this is now going to be the base model of how all Sreifas are going to be done. But why should it be the base model when, in fact, it was unusual, it was done directly by Hashem? Right, it's a very fair point, and off the top of my head, I have nothing to provide in terms of an answer, but it's certainly something worth investigating. Okay, I'm sorry, I lost my spot. It's fine. It's totally fine. Vinelef. There we go. On Nun Beis Amud Aleph, three quarters of the way down, the third word in the line, we have another area in the Torah where there is a burning. And the Gemara one now wants to know, how come we don't learn it from there? Now, what is that other area in the Torah? Permanent Srafim. When you have special carbon chatasis, like the Paralam Davishal Sibra is one example. So that carbon chatas is not eaten by Zichrei Kohuna. Rather, what happens is that you shech the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, you sprinkle the blood of this carbon on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and you continue to bring the blood into the Kodesh, into the Heichal, and you sprinkle it on the Peroches, right? So not, on Yom Kippur, we do all that, but we also actually go even one further step interior. On Yom Kippur, we go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, but anyway. So when it comes to the Parmenis Nisrafim, so then what happens to the animal after the Akrava? So it's not eaten by the Kohanim, but rather it's taken outside the Beis HaMikdash. And then we learned not that long ago, in the beginning of the sixth parak, it's actually taken outside of Gimel Machanos, it's taken outside of all three camps. And there it is to be burnt in its entirety, both internal and external. So we do find another area in the Torah where something is going to get burnt, and the burning is done both internally and externally. And the Gemara wants to know, why doesn't that become the base model of how Sreifa should be done? So So the Gemara says it makes much more sense to learn it out from either Nadav Aviv or Adas Korch, because we're talking about human beings. And when it comes to the Sreifa of Abaskon, we're talking about a human being. So when establishing a base model of where we should be learning it from, it makes more sense to learn from humans as opposed to learning it from Parma Nisrafim, because that's the burning of an animal. So the Gemara says, Shekain, Adam, Chotin, Neshama, Pigal. In four ways, one can easily relate how the burning of a Bas Kohen should be more comparable to either Nadav Aviv or Adas Korach, because Adam, the humans, Chotin, we're talking about sinners, Neshama, we're talking about the destruction of the Neshama. The termination, that was a better word I was thinking of, trying to think of. The termination of the neshama, meaning termination of the neshama in this world, obviously, and pigol. And in both cases, there's no opportunity to be mefagel. Pigol is only by carbon. We're talking about a woman being burnt. We're talking about Adas Korach. There's no pigol involved in those cases over there. As opposed to the carbon, we're obviously subject to pigol. Adarabba, the Gemara says, Parmen Nisrafim, Havelelamel, Shekein, Machshir, Lodoros. The Gemara says, wouldn't it be better to learn out from Parma Nisrafim? Because there are two points to consider. Number one, by Parma Nisrafim, you're doing what is correct. You're doing the right thing. And then furthermore, Ludaris, it's also for future generations, meaning by Parma Nisrafim, this is the course of action anytime we have a Parma Nisrafim going from this point forward. Nadav and Avi or Nadav Korach, those are historical events, never to be duplicated. So if it's a question of where we should be learning halacha from, something that is a mitzvah that will exist in perpetuity, like Parma Nisrafim, or Adas Korach or Nadav and Aviv, which were historical events, it's so seemingly it'd be much better to learn that from Parma Nisrafim. And again, it comes back to the point now, if we're learning it from Parma Nisrafim, so then it should be a full Sreifa, both internal and external. Hanach Nefishin. So the Gemara says, well, you're right. But if you look back in the last couple lines of Gemara, so you'll see that we made a comparison list of a Bas Kohen who was going to be burnt, comparing her to either Nadav Aviv or Adas Korach. Or, on the other hand, we compared to Parma Nisrafim. There were just simply more points of comparison between a Bas Kohen and Adas Korach, or Nadav Aviv. In other words, there are four points of comparison. However, if we want to compare it to Parma Nisrafim, there are only two points of comparison. So the game ends off with a score 4-2. So, and the winner, of course, is going to be the one who scored 4. Okay. Continuing now in the Gemara. Man di yalef mi adas karach, mai tamalo yalef mi mine ara. If you're learning from Adas Korach, why are you not learning from Nadav Aviv? So, ha'u sreifa mamish havai, because he's of the opinion that mamish, they were burnt over there. B'nelev mineh, so the Gemara says, so if they were mamish burnt over there, so why doesn't that become the source? I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Rav Abaravu, I'm a Krav, after recha kamocha, barlo misa yafe. So the Gemara says, no, because after recha kamocha, which tells us that you must choose a more humane method of killing. Meaning it has to be sreifa, we know it has to be sreifa, but given the choice of either internal or internal and external, so the internal would be better, it'd be less degrading, the body gets to remain intact. It's just it's a misa yafa. It's a nicer way to die. Okay. A simple question of the Gemara. Once we have this rule of Haftarech Kamocha, I don't need the Gzer Shava anymore. The Gemara says, sure you do. He loves Gzer Shava, Hava, Aminat Srefa, Sneshama, Vigov, Kayim, Lav, Srefa, He, Klal. I would have thought that if we're only burning the person internally, that's not Srefa at all. I need the Pasuk to tell me that internal burning is considered Srefa. And if all I had was the pasuk of after lerecha kamocha, one would have imagined that what you should do is you should burn the body as quickly as possible, wrapping the body up in zmurus and vines, and creating a situation where the body will die, the person will die as quickly as possible, making it as humane as possible. So therefore, I need the other pasuk to come teach me that no, that there also has to be an element of sreifa, of a burning, of an internal burning. And so therefore, I need both the statement of the Brisa, and I also need Rav Nachman as well. After Recha Kamocha. Continuing in the Gemara. Ukvar haya Moshe v'Aaron ma'achim derech, v'nada v'amiyo ma'achin achareyim. Nadav and Avihu were, obviously, they died in the Midbar while bringing in Eishara, and the Gemara wants to know what was exactly their behavior that precipitated such a harsh onish from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara over here describes. Nadav and Avihu were walking behind Moshe and Aaron, but in front of the Jewish people. And now they're thinking, we are poised for leadership, and we're poised for greatness. And then they verbalize to each other, you know, perhaps what many people are thinking, but they actually verbalized it and they said it, which is halalu. At what point are these two old men going to die? And you and I are going to therefore lead the generation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anira me cover as me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, we'll see about that. So this is part of our Masorah, meaning it's a fair question. It could be that nobody heard it. It could be that just simply that this is part of Torah Shabbat Peh, meaning that the Moshe learned this through Nevuah, Yoshua learned this through Nevuah. It could be. Okay, in other words, but it's part of the oral tradition. So, and Amara Papa, Haina Dami Inshiva Papa, contributes over here an old adage that was said by people that fits in well with what we just discussed. Nefishi Gamli Sabe, Ti'ini Mashke, De Hugnei. The old expression goes that you're going to find old camels carrying the hides of young camels. Meaning young camels who are, you know, I know I'm giving human features to young camels, but they're young and they're naive and they're like, oh, we can handle that burden, no problem at all. You put the burden on them, what happens is they collapse and they die. And Rashi points out over here, why don't the old camels, you know, collapse and die? They're old. So Rashi says you can't discount experience. Meaning that, yeah, and they've been carrying burdens for years, and so they figured it out, right? So you can't. There's no good substitute for experience, and so the Gemara is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Nadav Avihu, like you guys are you're the young camels, like you can't wait till they die, you can't wait to handle the burden of leadership, the responsibility of leadership. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Nadav and Avihu, at this stage in your lives, you guys are not able to handle it. And that is one of the reasons why Hashem greeted them with such a harsh punishment. By the way, you look at Rashi over there in Chumash, and you'll look at the Midrashim, and there are numerous different reasons why Nadav and Avihu were punished. This is not the only reason. The Gemara gives a long list of various reasons why Nadav and Avihu were punished. I quoted Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky recently. I'll quote him again. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in the beginning of Acharei Mos, has a beautiful drush in terms of why it is that Nadav and Avihu were killed for what seemingly is certainly an inappropriate thought and certainly an inappropriate comment regarding, you know, them wishing for Moshe and Aaron to die. But in terms of actions, they did nothing, and why should they deserve such a harsh penalty? See Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emes Liakov, where he discusses this point there as well. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Okay, recently we just quoted Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara here is going to quote him one more time. Lama tam chachem dom lifnei amaretz. Okay, the Gemara tells us this point a number of times. Here the Gemara is doing it again, and that is be careful of your association. Be careful who you hang out with. You have a Tamach Chacham hanging out with an Amma Aretz. So, B'tchila Dom L'Kiton Shosav. So, at first, the Amma Aretz is looking at the Tamach Chacham. Wow, he's so special, he's so unique. He's like a golden jug. And then, the Sofo, sorry, Dom L'Kiton Shosav. Sipra Hemenu Dom L'Kiton Shokesef. But then, we have an expression here in English, where familiarity breeds contempt. And over here, the more the Tamach Chacham is going to be spending time with the Amma Aretz is basically going to say, you know, I used to think the world of him. Now, I think less of him. He's now more comparable to a silver jug. Nina mimenu dome likutin shocheresh. And then eventually, the Talmud Chacham spends enough time with the Amma Aretz, so the Amma Aretz is going to be thinking to himself, ugh, guy's not that special. Like an earthenware jug. So, kevin shenishbar shuv ein lo tekana. And once broken, so there's no reparation, just like an earthenware jug. Im rasa bas teli bas konches in sahavai. And we end off this morning with a story where the daughter of Teli, so she was a bas kohen, meaning Teli himself was a kohen, and Rav Chama bar Tuvia Chavilei, sorry, Akfa Rav Chama bar Tuvia Chavilei is Moros v'sarfa. And what Rav Chama bar Tuvia is that because she committed adultery, so he wrapped up in vines and he burned her from the outside. So Amr of Yosef Ta Bitarte, so Rav Yosef says, wow, that was such a gross error. And not only was it a gross error, it was compounded. Two big mistakes that you made. Number one, but the Rav Masa Vitaga Bidatanya. So first of all, you made a mistake regarding Rav Masa. Rav Masa taught us in the beginning of Shir today that the way that you do the punishment of Srefa is by pouring the hot lead down the throat, not an external burning. And also, Vidatanya. There's another brisa, which is Vasal Kohanim Levim Val Shofet Asher Yeh BeYamim Ahim B'Zman Sheyesh Kohen Yesh Mishpat B'Zman Shein Kohanim Mishpat. We can try capital punishments right now, meaning Rav Chama is an Amora living after Churban Beis Hamikdash. There's no longer a Beis Hamikdash. We can't do capital punishment anymore. So how could you be trying capital punishment when we don't have the right to do so? So I can easily imagine that these are not just minor errors; these are major errors that was done in the context of the Beis Din. So I made this point already once earlier this morning. It's rather remarkable that you have Dayanim and Beis Dins who are making such what would seem to us to be gross errors of judgment and practice by giving the wrong type of strafe to somebody, judging a capital crime after Churban Beis Hamikdash. These are not nuanced points. These are basic points in Halacha. So how can you have Amoraim seemingly neglect some of the most basic points? I raise that as a question. Again, sorry, I don't have a great answer, but these are not subtleties. These are not nuances. Okay, we'll pause over here. And tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots.